Hello, I'm Martine.
Hello, I'm Peter. Come on in.
Thanks.
Who is in the pool house?
Her name is Martine, and she is a friend, and she needed Daddy's help.
So, Martine, what do you make?
It's a film. Peter is helping me with the sound.
Gonna work out?
Yeah, she's really talented. I think she's really sweet, too.
Sometimes there's a person who you know looks right.
Marriage is complicated.
I want to be alone with you.
And when they walk, that walk makes ladies turn to their window and admire.
This has gone too far.
You betrayed me.
Dude, you're married.
I see you with the accurate eyes of the sun. You will never have anything or anyone you want. Least of all, me.
Welcome to Film Wax Radio, the independent film talk show. Every week we're visited by filmmakers, actors, journalists, programmers, and others to sit down and chat about the state of independent film. Today my guest is filmmaker Rai Russo-Young. Russo-Young's previous features include Orphans, which received a Dre Prize at the 2007 South by Southwest Film Festival. In 2009, her feature, You Won't Miss Me, premiered at the Sundance Film Festival and played several other festivals around the world, including South by Southwest, Turin, Marfa, and Sao Paulo. The film went on to win the Gotham Independent Film Award for Best Feature Not Coming to a Theater Near You. Ms. Russo-Young's latest film, Nobody Walks, premiered at the 2012 Sundance Film Festival. The film, starring John Krasinski, Olivia Thirlby, and Rosemary DeWitt, was co-written with Lena Dunham and developed through the Sundance Screenwriters Lab and the IFP No Borders Market. The film went on to win a special jury prize and will be released domestically this fall by Magnolia Pictures and internationally through Myriad Pictures. The film has played several other festivals, including BAM Cinema Fest, Sarasota, Nantucket, and Sundance London, among others. It's currently available on demand and opens theatrically around the country on October 19th. So welcome to Film Wax Radio, Rai Russo-Young. I've been wanting to have you on for a long time.
Thank you. I've been wanting to be on for a long time. We had an email exchange a while ago, so I'm glad we're finally doing
it. But this makes more sense. Well, the timing is really good because Nobody Walks, your third feature, is coming out on October 19th, and so this makes sense.
Yes. For people who might not have access to major city movie theater, iTunes and Time Warner On Demand are good places to watch it.
Well said. The movie was co-written by you and Lena Dunham. Mm-hmm. Describe the story.
Yes. Nobody Walks is about a 23-year-old New York artist played by Olivia Thirlby who comes to stay in the pool house of a Los Angeles family because the father is going to help her sound design kind of her first film endeavor, which is an experimental film about bugs. And she's never actually met John Krasinski, who plays Peter, the father of the family, but has heard of him as he's going to basically sound design her art film as a favor to his wife. Because Martine and Julie, played by Rosemary DeWitt, John Krasinski's wife, both have a kind of person in common who's never in the movie, actually. So Martine comes to this family in Los Angeles, stays in their pool house, and kind of begins this sexual awakening that everybody goes through throughout the film. And in a sense, everybody kind of comes of age despite their different ages.
Where can I see this? Oh, I'm kidding. I know, I saw it. Of course. Olivia Thirlby, quite a good actress.
Yes.
She's really good.
I agree.
And she really carries this film.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say.
I mean, one of the things, like, thinking about when casting her is that she really, I believed that I could see her with a Bolex in the middle of the desert shooting ants and shooting a woman's breast with ants crawling all over it.
Mm.
And that was something that was really important, that you buy her as an artist and that she doesn't look necessarily like Megan Fox, where she walks in and everybody's like, wow, how hot is this girl?
Right.
Because then,
and then you can see exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
Like, you know, it's, exactly. And whereas here you never really know. You're always kind of kept off guard a little bit. You're not sure exactly what's going to play out with her and the other characters in the film.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully there's like a real suspense to that.
There is.
Waiting to see what she's going to do, what she's going to do wrong, and how the other characters are going to participate in that.
And why bugs? You could have chosen anything.
One of the reasons, we talked about a lot of things, Lena and I, and one of the things is that bugs don't have emotions. A bug isn't going to be like, you cheated on me. How could you? So we felt like having Martine sort of has this backstory in the movie that she'd already kind of screwed up in terms of she was sued by her ex-boyfriend because she had naked photos of him in a gallery. And so I think it's Martine's kind of attempt to actually get away from people and away from the messiness of sex and emotions by working with bugs, which seem to be clean, quote unquote, for her.
Ironically.
Ironically.
Yeah. Would you say that she is a bit of a fish out of water?
I would, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's definitely, I mean, she's a New Yorker. She doesn't know how to drive. She's in this new place.
Yeah.
I think we very much enter the movie with Martine, and by the end, we're actually a little bit more on the side of the family, and we kind of leave watching her walk away from us.
Right. Yeah. And it must have been a very delicate. Rosemary DeWitt plays a really strong, likable character. You know, she's in a spot here, you know, and then your heroine is sort of the play by Olivia, and she's doing things that are not maybe all that likable at times.
Well, I think, yeah, Martine is both sort of the protagonist and antagonist
yeah.
in some ways. And we definitely come in with her and leave mm-hmm. without her. And that's something that I've always been really interested in is kind of that, especially for this film, is that, you know, the audience's allegiance would shift throughout mm-hmm. the movie. But I think that's also part of the way that human beings are, is that, you know, one minute somebody is, you love them and you love the way that they're behaving or what they're doing or mm-hmm. they're so charming, and then the next kind of you see another side of them and you're like, ooh.
Yeah. Well, we all transgress at exactly. times, right? So, and talk about the casting. John Krasinski and Rosemary DeWitt.
Olivia Thirlby, Justin Kirk,
mm-hmm.
who's
right.
now on Animal Practice, who I love.
Yeah, he was also, wasn't he was on Weeds, right?
He was on Weeds.
Yeah, he was great.
He played Andy on Weeds.
Mm-hmm.
And Dylan McDermott plays Rosemary DeWitt's ex-husband, who is a rock star. And
right.
I think he improvised a lot on set, and he gives an incredible performance. as well as India Enega plays the 16-year-old daughter, mm-hmm. Colt. The casting was really, it was a fun and nerve-wracking experience, I would say.
Why?
Just because casting is so important, you know? It's everything to the movie. I mean, I think.
And because it's an ensemble film, so it's not just individual casting the appropriate sort of actor for the role, but it's also how do they work together, right?
I mean, completely. And creating a world,
right.
you know, that you believe that all these people would actually interact with each other and that they have the same, that you can put them together and that they have the same kind of, they'll create a unified tone,
yeah.
I think is important. And is something that, especially for me, when casting people who do different things, you know, mm-hmm. Rosemary DeWitt is in everything from like Mad Men to Rachel Getting Married.
Your sister.
Right, or sister. And you know, John Krasinski is like best known as The Office, and then this is a first dramatic role for him. And I think, I mean, just the process, all the actors really were excited about being in the movie and doing the movie, and I think really gave a piece of themselves to this film, which I feel extremely lucky and thankful for.
I first became aware of your work when I saw You Won't Miss Me. Can you talk about the transition from that film, which was a real sort of micro-budget indie film? I mean, it's sort of regarded as one of these early micro-budget films that are part of like this whole trend of films that came out in the last bunch of years that were made sort of on a shoestring and by a very scruffy...
super scruff.
Super scruff. But very serious artists, you know, and now we're seeing them sort of transition into a little bit more of a mainstream. There's a notable change from that film to this one. Now, all of a sudden, you're working with well-known names like we mentioned. What was that transition like?
I think a lot of it actually came from writing the script with Lena.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, you know, You Won't Miss Me, the process was really different. The movie was about a volatile young woman, and, you know, I co-wrote
also,
it.
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, but also somebody who's not always likable in this.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of the audience definitely oscillates during that movie between liking her and hating her and loving her and wanting to smack her, and, you know.
Right.
But that movie, you know, it was a treatment form. Part of it was improvised. It was kind of taking a lot of the advantages, I think, of a low-budget film, of having no money and doing it ourselves, working with friends, working with some actors, but it was extremely collaborative, and we edited while we'd shoot. You know?
Really?
So we were editing, and then we'd shoot more, and then we'd raise some money, and then we'd edit again, and we'd shoot more. And it was, I mean, it was so...
This was pre-crowdsource.
Yeah.
Fundraising too. Yeah,
I got 2 grants to make You Miss Me, and that's what we did. Yeah,
that's terrific.
So, well, it was tough.
I bet.
But it was, you know, it was great, and there was a lot of like free will and spirit and let's hit the streets with a camera, which is really inspiring and fun. And I think for this, you know, wanting to make a sort of a larger film, having a really solid piece of material that I had written with Lena, that was a script that I think actors could read and enjoy or relate to, or, you know, that would help attract them, was really key to me. And that sort of dictated also like the story itself, how the movie should look and feel, the actors that should be in it, and it kind of its size and scale and scope.
Do you feel like that you kind of want to tell female stories? Your work with Lena is an indication, possibly, because she's certainly, I mean, with Girls and the types of films she's making, she's very much wanting to tell what it's like to be a woman in 2012. And I wonder if you also kind of had that in common.
I think that is something that we share, as like an interest in the female experience, for sure. I think being ladies,
there's a lot of male experience
that's out there.
It's very
right.
true.
There's a lot of male filmmakers. There's a lot of male identification and experience. So I think that's something, just because I've been there, you know, and as a young woman, and as a little, I remember being a little girl and watching movies with female protagonists, and how important they were to me as a kid.
Do you remember some of these films?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it was like a lot. Well, actually I have a sister. So a lot of them involved like everything from like The Parent Trap to Meet Me in St. Louis to White Christmas.
Really? So you're talking about real classics, real sort of...
Yeah, I mean... You know,
I was thinking maybe you were going to pull something like, you know, Working Girl.
Something like that. Yeah, I remember Working Girl. Or like The Last Unicorn. I mean, I'm talking really young.
Yeah.
Like 6. Or like later, Postcards from the Edge.
Really?
Yeah, that was a huge movie for me, like in my teens. Or League of Their Own was a huge one.
Well, that I can kind of see, yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, Lena and I, when we first sat down, I said I wanted to make a movie about men, because I really loved the idea of like having just made You Won't Miss Me and being so inside this like crazy girl's head.
Bubble.
Let's make a movie about like a bunch of really smart, normal guys. And so we kind of thought of Peter first as like our character, and then Martine came, and then the movie turned into what it is.
It evolved.
So maybe it's inescapable.
Yeah. Were you raised on films?
My parents aren't artists, and so they weren't.
What were they?
They didn't have one of my moms. I have 2 moms. So one of them was a lawyer for a legal aid lawyer, like a housing lawyer, and then ended up teaching law. And the other one was pretty much a stay-at-home mom for most of my childhood, and then ended up going to law school when I was like in high school, I think.
Wow.
Or 8th grade. But she never really practiced as a lawyer.
So where did your interest in filmmaking begin?
It was always an interest in make-believe, actually. Like, that's when I think back on, like, my childhood, and I think a lot of kids experience this. Is like,
were you a very internal child?
I was like a come play with me. I was always trying to recruit people to come and play imaginary games with me. Like,
right.
We were always like orphans or princesses running away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, always like undressing people and saying, like, put on this tutu on your head, and like just the kind of...
The only thing that was missing was the camera at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But you were setting up all the shots in your mind.
Yeah, and I was in it also, and I was like setting it up and coordinating people and super bossy. So there was, I always did that. And then when I kind of discovered acting when I was like 9 in a school play, it was like, oh, there's a society sanctioned way of doing what I love to do, which is like creating these little stories and worlds and characters and set decorating and all that. And so that sort of, and then with photography, and then I kind of just put it all together. So it's always felt like, I don't know what else I'm good at. So, you know.
Well, writing, directing, acting.
It's all kind of the same thing.
I had a dream last night. It was about you. Am I allowed to tell you about it?
I walked over, started to touch you, and then more. You were just ignoring me.
How do you know when you found the right guy?
I don't know that you do know. I think you're just ready, and you pick one.
Tell me what you hear now.
I find you incredibly charming. And intelligent and beautiful.
You want to talk about your little crush on our house guest?
What are you talking about?
I understand she's attractive. I'm attracted to her. Just don't embarrass me.
Well, we're speaking with Rai Russo-Young, whose new film, Nobody Walks, will be premiering on October the 19th here in New York. And other cities thereafter, I assume. Is it opening in LA? Los Angeles. And
yeah.
And that, is it the same day or is it?
It's at the new Sundance Movie Theater.
Okay. Sneak it in the intro. Stars John Krasinski and Rosemary DeWitt and Olivia Thirlby, and others. It's a terrific film. I hate to use the term dramedy, but there is certainly elements of drama and comedy in it. It's not a musical, that I can say, so genre-wise. Identify yourself, I guess, as a director? Do you feel like that's the role you're going to play? Do you feel like you would find yourself in someone else's film potentially in the future, or obviously writing is going to remain a central part of your trajectory?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would. I always like, it's something that I'm always like flirting with about whether to act in one of my own films or be in a friend's, or like I was in Alex Ross Perry's movie The Color Wheel, just like one scene in the beginning.
I saw him briefly last night in passing. I was at this. I was at this Brian De Palma and Noah Baumbach dialogue at Lincoln Center.
Was it good?
It was good. It was very good, actually. It was very entertaining. The two of them together were a good match, actually. Okay. Even though one wouldn't necessarily think so on the surface that these two guys would have a lot in common, but they actually do.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun. Anyway, so you were in The Color Wheel.
But, you know, I'm way more interested in directing because it's...
Mm-hmm. Why?
It's kind of what I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think I...
Getting back
really,
to the...
It's the
most... The princesses and orphans.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's sort of the most, like, rewarding process. But I'm open to...
Nobody Walks end up in its execution hitting the mark for you as far as, like, what you envisioned artistically?
In some ways, yes. In some ways, never.
Right.
Know?
Is that never okay with you?
Well, every movie is like a... striving towards something that I've never achieved.
Unattainable.
Yeah. And so in some ways I'm amazed by, in some ways I have no perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
And in other ways I'm amazed by how I hit some things that I really wanted to. And then in other words, I can't wait to make another film to do even better,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Tattoo yourself.
Or just, yeah, but it's or not, make it's a not, better movie. I mean,
right, well,
I'm still, have you ever heard of like Ira Glass on storytelling?
Sure.
Have you ever heard that clip where he says that you're, it's like a YouTube clip, you can just YouTube it, and he says that as like a young artist, your taste is never up to your skill level, and mm-hmm. so you have really good taste, and you can watch things and be like, that's incredible, but when you make your own work, you see that your skill doesn't match your taste, and so it's this continually frustrating process mm-hmm. of watching your work and being like, this is not as good as I know it could be. And I feel like, unfortunately, I'm still in that phase with myself where I look at what I do and I'm like, but it's not as good as I want it to be.
Right.
But that's also why
it drives you
doing it. Yeah.
Right. But it's also, yeah. I mean, I've never heard of anybody actually say, oh, I achieved perfection with that film, or I achieved my, right. you know, right. Exactly. I'm so satisfied that, you know, because you'll always see the flaws no matter what.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of it is acceptance and moving on. Just finish it and move on to the next project.
Totally. I wonder what PTA would say is the flaws with the master.
Is he now PTA? Wow. I didn't realize. I just got used to calling him PT Anderson, but that was a pretty great film. But that guy, you know, I mean, he's got a lot of help too. Mm. My God. What did you think of the master?
I thought it was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was so like, I love the way it was almost associative. Like, it almost reminded me of Tree of Life. It's just so much about this character and, like, watching them enter this world and go on this journey.
And it also made me feel I see too many films. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, in other words, I feel like seeing as many films as I do, or maybe you do, mm-hmm. I mean, it's you realize how much it dilutes, occasionally anyway, or let me speak for myself, it dilutes in that moment to really, really let a film like that absorb it and take it in and let it marinate and really feel it, because you were then always racing into the next thing on some level. I mean, like, it just reminded me when I saw Melancholia a couple years ago, and I just remember I had another screening after you know, it was at the New York Film Festival or something, and I just didn't end up going because I was just so, you know, blown away. Anderson does films like that where you kind of really just need to let it wash over you.
Yeah, well, especially on that one, I think, because its narrative is pretty different in terms of,
yeah.
It sort of has its own timetable and its own narrative rules that aren't what most films are. So you kind of have to, like, allow yourself to get on that train and just be on that train,
yeah.
And not have the same expectations that you would with other films.
Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself as wanting to continue to make smaller personal films, or could you take on something larger? Is that something that appeals to you? And as a hypothetical type of,
yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Certainly, like, continuing to grow and make bigger films that more people have access to is certainly something that appeals. I just want, you know, I want to make good work.
Yeah,
make good movies.
Sure, with good people, right? Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Makes sense. It seems like you're well on the way. Nobody Walks is opening on October 19th at the Sunshine Landmark Cinema in the Village and
Houston Street.
East Houston Street. Mm-hmm. So make sure to let everybody know and go over there on opening weekend and check it out. It's a terrific film. It stars John Krasinski and Rosemary DeWitt and Olivia Thirlby. And other fine actors and actresses.
Ow. Yes.
Do you have anything else you want to that's coming up or that you're working on at the moment?
I have
projects?
A pilot that I'm writing for cable television.
Uh-huh.
With another writer who's awesome. And I'm writing a new movie also with another writer.
Okay. So if you just have to If you get the cable deal, just make sure it's on Showtime opposite Girls. I'd love to see that.
Copy that.
Rai Russo Young, thank you really
thank you.
Very much for coming on FilmWax Radio, and I hope that you'll come back on. You'll after this experience, you'll still consider coming back and entertaining me. And it was delightful talking to you.
It was fun.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Same here.
Again.
Yes.
Okay.
You saw my pain washed out in the rain and broken glass saw the blood run from my veins. But you saw no fault, no cracks in my heart. And you knelt beside my hope torn apart. The ghosts that we knew will flicker from view and will live a long life. So give me hope in the darkness that I will see the light. 'Cause oh, they gave me such a fright. But I will hold as long as you like, just promise me we'll be alright. So lean me back and turn south from that place and close my eyes to my recent disgrace. 'Cause you know my call and we'll share our children come, and they will hear me roar. So give me hope in the darkness that I will see the light. 'Cause oh, they gave me such a fright. But I will hold as long as you like, just promise me we'll be alright. From view and will live a long